Welcome, everyone. We celebrate yet another octave of Holy Pascha. We have been celebrating these various Sundays in which we hear a gospel with a theme of the elements of baptism. Here in this particular case, the theme of water and healing. You recall the story of the Samaritan woman with the water at the well. You recall the story of the man who was a paralytic lying at the pool of Bethesda. Today we hear of these same themes in the story of the man who was born blind. These readings that I mentioned before are chosen in the early church in this post-Pascha lectionary cycle for us to continue to meditate upon what has happened to us in Holy Baptism on Holy Pascha. Recall that the lectionary is designed for the catechumens in the pre-Pascha period, and then in the post-Pascha period for the continuing education of these once catechumens, now baptized, enlightened ones. They still were in need of further catechesis. Now, with the grace of baptism, they could further understand more of what had happened to them in the strict mystery. And so we hear these newly baptized are told today that though once they were blind, though they were born in blindness, though they were spiritually unable to see, they now are able to see. If you bring someone to our holy service who has no understanding of the Christian faith whatsoever, they will be amazed, certainly, at the beauty and the sounds and things like that, the sensory aspect of it, but will not be able to see and understand what is going on, not being part of the Christian faith. And so it is with these newly baptized. At one time, they had heard of these Christians. They had some idea about that they had some sort of service on Sunday, and that they celebrated some sort of a resurrection of someone. But then through the catechesis in the pre-Paschal period, they understood more properly the Christian faith as they were educated from the creation story in Genesis all the way up until the coming of Christ. And in this post-Paschal period after baptism, now continue to understand, continue to be enlightened as they learn more about this life of Jesus Christ and the things he has done, particularly today, in the healing of the man born blind. There's also another theme here for the newly baptized. Not only have they gone from blindness to seeing, from spiritual blindness to spiritual sight, having the light of Christ within them now, I am the light of the world, as he said. They are also warned about their new life in Christ and what it will be like if they have not already begun to experience this, that they will be kicked out of the synagogue. Synagogue is a Greek word, synagogi, meaning gathering place. This is where the Jews would gather on Saturday to hear from the Torah, sing some songs, hear an explanation of the Torah and the prophets, and then go home and spend the rest of the day and rest with their family. Many in the early church, as you know, were from a Jewish descent. As you know, Jesus, genetically, was a Jew. His mother was a Jew. The 12 disciples were Jews. The first 3,000 disciples at Pentecost were Jews. The Samaritans were the people of Israel. These are all people from the descendants of Jacob, descendants of Abraham. And so in this early period, as these Jews were accepting Jesus as the Messiah, many of them faced persecution. We can hear about that in Acts of the Apostles, as we heard today. And so these newly baptized, some of them may be at this stage, as the catechumens are still coming into the church from the Jewish background, even in the 3rd, 4th century, still a trickle, are going to be kicked out of their synagogues. They're not going to be accepted anymore among their fellow Jews. because they are seen as heretics. They've accepted Jesus and as the Messiah, and the Jews as a group, not, this is not the Messiah. And so we're finding there that these newly baptized now are going to face persecution. They will not be accepted in the synagogue anymore. The former place where they were, they are no longer welcome. And of course, this is a message for the catechumens or newly baptized, whether or not they are Jews or Gentiles, because the theme is the same. The place from which you came, that world from which you came, you are no longer welcome there as a Christian. Now, you can go back into that world and act like the members of that world, and you'll be well accepted. In fact, they may rejoice over the fact that you have apparently apostatized. But if we walk back into the places we formerly haunted, now as Christians, we will not be accepted. We will be rejected. And these catechumens, these newly baptized, that they already had not yet begun to experience this, or certainly beginning to experience it now in this post-baptismal period. When they are gathering together with the other Christians on Sunday, when they're acting differently, talking differently, no longer abiding in their former ways. And so these newly baptized are being catechized in this, that they have accepted the faith of Jesus Christ, and now are no longer going to be welcome. Just as this happened to the man who was born blind and Jesus healed, so also those who have received spiritual light from the mystery of baptism of Holy Pascha will also face similar rejection from the communities from which they came. As I said before, these readings, of course, are not just for the newly baptized, but in the early church, those sponsors for the newly baptized who were fasting, preparing for them, also went through a renewal of their baptism in a certain sense. And at a certain point, by the time we get to the third, fourth century, almost the entire parish, wherever you were sponsors. Everyone was a sponsor for one being baptized, for they needed many sponsors for the many who were being baptized. You might have a parish of 100 people, and that Pascha, 100 of you being baptized. We need a sponsor for each one. As I mentioned before as well, the baptisms continue to increase in number, so much so that eventually we couldn't baptize just on Holy Pascha, but had to start baptizing on Saturday morning to prepare for Pascha. And so they would baptize Saturday morning. You recall when we were through the laurel leaves of the victory of Christ's resurrection. And so they would begin baptizing all the way until that night. When that wasn't enough, then they began baptizing also as early as Palm Sunday, Lazarus Saturday, which is why you hear us beginning to sing, even then, all of you who have been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. When that wasn't enough, then they had to begin baptizing on what is called Thomas Sunday, or the octave of Pascha. And when that wasn't enough, they had to continue to baptize all throughout the Paschal season, all the way to Pentecost. Which is why you are still hearing us sing, all of you who have been baptized in Christ, every Sunday, because they were still baptizing in the early church every Sunday, all the way to Pentecost, and including Pentecost. Eventually, that was enough either. And they had to baptize on any great feast day. They baptized on the Transfiguration, on the Nativity of Christ. Anytime you hear throughout the year, when we sing on a Sunday or a feast day, all of you who have been baptized in Christ, Galatians 3:27, you know that in the early church, that was a baptismal day. Not because they wanted to baptize on a certain feast day, this one or that one, but it was out of necessity because of all the baptisms. Where are the catechumens today? Where are the crowds? To look in the mirror. Are we the Christians of the early church? We may be celebrating the liturgy of the early church. I've told you that many times, and there's all sorts of manuscript evidence from early liturgical celebrations and gatherings. What we are celebrating today in the lectionary cycle can be documented back to the earliest centuries of Christianity. The baptismal services that we celebrate, there are documents of how they were baptizing in the early church is identical to our service. We are celebrating the Orthodox faith, the Orthodox liturgy, that which has been properly handed on. There's no doubt about that. But are we Orthodox Christians? Are we Christians who look like the Christians of the early church when we walk into our former haunts? Are we any different from what we were before? Have we been transformed in Jesus Christ through our holy baptism? Well, the grace has certainly been given to us. The question is whether or not we want to put it to use. All the gifts that we need of the Holy Spirit have been given to each and every one of us. But are we putting them to use? The gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's like a toolbox. The man who becomes a tradesman on the day when he is now graduated, now he can go out and do his actual trade. He's now going to be an independent tradesman, no longer under the tutelage of another. He's got a toolbox. And he goes to his job and he does his job as he learned. If he has this problem, he opens the toolbox up. He takes out that tool for this. He takes out this tool for that. He's got all the tools he'll ever need for all the jobs he's going to go on in that toolbox. He never knows what he'll encounter when he comes to a new job. Got to keep it all right there. Well, the Lord has given us our toolbox. He's given us every tool we need, every gift of the Holy Spirit, like a tool for everything we would encounter in our Christian life. And yet, tragically, we leave most of the tools in a toolbox, some of them we never learned how to use, and some of them we don't even know they're there. And tragically, some Christians never open the toolbox. And that is why we do not see the baptisms like we saw in the church. Because we are not living the life of the Spirit with all of his gifts. We're not living the life of the early Christians. We are not different from the people out there. We're not any different from our former place from where we came. We still walk the same, act the same, talk the same, dress the same to some degree. And to that degree, we're not going to be a contagious Christian. I love that line. It's a modern idea. There's very few modern ideas that I like. A contagious Christian. A contagious Christian. The early Christians were contagious. You got around one of those, you picked up the virus. There was no possible way you could be anywhere near a Christian, the early church, and not be affected by them, infected with something they have. And all of a sudden, you walked away feeling differently. And you suddenly thought, boy, I'm going to be like they are. And began to transform and change your life, and eventually were baptized. More completely transformed into what they were, into Jesus Christ, a contagious Christian. We need to become contagious Christians again. But there's no mystery. It's not rocket science. All we need to do is open up the toolbox that we've been given and take out the tools and use them, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in our daily life. And to the degree that we do not do that, it's to the same degree that we will continue to look like we did before, to act like we did before, to walk and talk and dress like we did before. And to that degree, no one is going to be attracted to Jesus Christ because they cannot see Jesus Christ in us. And so I encourage all of us here, I encourage myself, we need to continue to work on being a contagious Christian. Live the life of Jesus Christ every day, not just on Sunday, every day, Monday through Saturday. Let Sunday spill out into your weekday. Let what we sing here on Sunday sing every day of the week. Let us so faithful praise and worship the Lord. That That is our resurrectional hymn for this week. It's on the website. You've received it in the emails. You should be singing that song every day. As you're going to work, let us so faithful. As a guy cuts you off on the freeway, let us so faithful. Praise and worship. As you get to work and your boss sees you and throws a pile of stuff on your desk, you can sing your let us so faithful. And you keep going. And someone might walk up, you say, hey, you're singing some song I've never heard. What is that? You were humming something at the coffee machine. You keep singing it. Oh, this is a song I sing. All week I sing this song. You sing one song the whole week? Yes. Don't you get tired of it? No. Well, then what do you do next week? Oh, I have another song. There are eight of them. I sing eight songs. And all week, I sing those eight songs. And 1 week, I have one song. Next week, I have it all 8 days. And then eight by eight. Well, because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the eighth day of the week. The eighth day of the week? Are you crazy? You're only 7 days. Can you imagine the types of opportunities of conversation you could have just being just a regular Christian? Just singing a song. The opportunities are all there, just singing the resurrection triparia. As I told you before, the resurrection triparia, the festal triparia, the theotokia, the kantakia, these hymns go back to the early church. They enunciate the great mysteries of the faith. The eight resurrectional triparia and theotokia and kantakia enunciate the great mysteries of the faith regarding the resurrection of Jesus. And then when it comes to the other great festal hymns, the troparian or the kantakian or theotokian, of a particular feast day, the Nativity of Our Lord, the Transfiguration, the Baptism, those hymns enunciate the early Christian understanding of those aspects of life in Christ. If you memorize the eight resurrectional theotokia and triparia and kantakia, it's not that hard. After, you see it every single day for an entire week, and then after 8 weeks, you'll have them all memorized. And every time you have a feast, if for that octave of the feast every day you sing that hymn, the triparia, start with the triparia. And after that, maybe next year, time around, or from the theotokia, the kantakia. And you will have all the knowledge that you need to live out your Christian life, but also to spread the Christian faith. I told you before, and I know people don't really believe me, they think I'm, exaggerating, and I'm not. I cannot tell you how true this is. With my master's degree in theology, 2-year degree at Christendom College, a very rigorous degree, very difficult, lots of work into that. Then, 4-year PhD in biblical studies and theology courses as well, along with the biblical studies in Hebrew and Greek. All of that education, that master's degree and that PhD, I can tell you, are absolutely irrelevant when it comes to the knowledge of the faith that's enunciated in these hymns I'm talking about. I learned more authentic and practical theology, authentic apostolic theology, by singing those hymns than I ever did in any class at Christendom or Catholic University. I'm not kidding. You might say, boy, it'd be really nice to have a master's degree to have a PhD. Sure, I guess so. If you got to get a job and get paid to teach or something. But if your reason is you want to have the knowledge if you want to have that knowledge, all you have to do is sing every day when you're at work. Sing every day as you wake up and before you go to bed, and sing with your family at the meal prayer. And you will have, I promise you, I'm not exaggerating, you will have more knowledge in your head of authentic apostolic theology, more scripture memorized, than any theologian you can think of. And I know a lot of them. Most of them are heretics anyway. So I'm not kidding. So I encourage you, as we come to the close of our pastoral season, as you know, this is the last Sunday in which we will be singing Christ is Risen. But this is not the last octave of Pascha. Every Sunday will continue to be an octave of Pascha. You hear now the hymns of Pascha fading away and other hymns starting to come in, the hymns of Pentecost and others. But every Sunday you will still hear, especially if you come here for Orthodox, the themes of the resurrection still there as a voice reminding us of what this is all about, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and we can be too. That is the good news. That is the gospel. How do I know that? Because of the troparion of Holy Pascha, the greatest troparion of our faith, the greatest feast. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and to those in the tombs, bestowing life. That is the good news. That is the gospel that we proclaim, that has been proclaimed for 2,000 years. There's a lot of people out there, even those who call themselves Christians, who don't even know what the gospel is. His pain, my gain, you'll see is that Cosmic Child of Mischief t-shirt, you'll see, or you'll see, you know, if in case of the rapture, this car will be unmanned, or you'll see shoes of smoke come out on t-shirts. That's not the gospel. It has nothing to do with the gospel. Most of that's a bunch of heresy anyway. I'm just reading the First Thessalonians chapter 4. That's for another discussion. So we need to live out the good news every day in our life. I hope this Paschal season you have been singing every day, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling death by death, and those in truth restore life. I hope you've been singing that, maybe even in Greek, maybe even in Arabic, or maybe whatever language you want. But I hope you've been singing that. And as we now move into the beginning of singing other troparia, especially the eight resurrection troparia up here, make sure you sing those. When we come to Pentecost and we have the octave of Pentecost, sing that Pentecost hymn every single day when you're at work, when you're in the car, when you're at the post office, when you're going to the grocery store, wherever you are, sing that hymn the entire octave. When you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night. And then continue with these troparia and then the Theotokia and the Kantakia throughout the year. How do you do it? Modern technology, you can click on your iPhone. I can't sing, your phone can. Okay, so you stand at the table wherever you pray. You're going to pray. You want to sing? Oh, it's right. Paul Sebastian is crazy. He wants me to sing this hymn. I got to sing. Oh, I can't sing. So you click on it on the website. Oh, look, there it is. It's even in the email. So you click, and then you hear, let us so faithful praise and worship the Lord. And you can sing along with it. And every time it is, I can't remember, you click on it, and you do that throughout the week. And by the end of the week, you click on it, you have it in your hand. Do this so that we can be contagious Christians. Do this so that we can be different from the place from which we came. Do this so that those who are in the place from which we came may recognize who we have become in Jesus Christ. Do this so that we may fill the churches again with so many baptisms that we don't have time to baptize them all in one day. And continue to celebrate throughout the year that Christ is risen from the dead. Vishnu Sanesti! Christ is risen!
Indeed, he is risen!
Glory to his third day resurrection!
Mas hijo comen, vaya el amor, guau, a ti, a la,